You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
There's nothing rich folks love more than going downtown and slumming it with the poor. They pull up in their carriages and gawk at the students in the common just to watch them talk.
Hey, Ensemblist listeners. Mo Brady here, and this week I want to share with you an extra special conversation from my friends over at the Spark File podcast. Now, if you haven't heard of the Spark File podcast, I want you to open up your podcast app and subscribe to them right now. The Spark File is hosted by Susan Blackwell and Laura Kamen, two badass bitches with gobs of experience in the theater space who are obsessed with sparking creativity and inspiration in others. I'll take a page from their stump speech and share with you that a spark file is a place where one consistently collects creative inspirations and fascinations. Laura and Susan are on the hunt for fresh ideas, images, and inspiration that spark creativity and pique curiosity. Things that inspire all of us to get up off of our asses and make something. Plus, they have a kick-ass theme song that makes my butt bounce every time I hear it. I've been obsessed with the spark file since its launch last fall, but when I heard this conversation with Philippa Sue, I knew I had to share it with you guys. In this selected short, Philippa, who you probably know for originating the role of Eliza Hamilton in Hamilton, talks about the disappointment she felt during her next Broadway outing, Amelie, and the lessons she learned from it. Here's their conversation.
When I bump into something that inspires me, I dump it in my spark file.
Spark file.
Could be something that I wanna make or how I wanna be. I pump it in my spark file.
Spark file.
I jump into my spark file.
Spark file.
Let's open up the spark file.
I wanna share something that I've learned from you, Pipsters, in observing you, is really about staying loose and having fun. So it's so interesting for me to hear that you're like this very studious, good student, and you could live in that gear. And the magic trick for you is to really make sure that you like cut loose and fly free mm-hmm. in your performances and have mm-hmm. fun. I think you're succeeding in my observation of you.
Since you asked,
we
yes.
did this reading of a musical called Kiss Me, Kate. Kiss Me, Kate is a musicalization of Taming of the Shrew. And
so fun.
It was crazy fun. We did it at the Public Theater. Mm-hmm. Lee Silverman directed. There was a lot of, you know, I was playing one of the gangsters. There was a lot of like non-traditional casting going on in that.
I don't think that's non-traditional.
For me to play one of the
gangsters.
I am a gangster.
You're an original gangster.
So during this reading that we did in front of a big old invited audience, you're out in front. Do you remember this? You're out in front. Mm-hmm. You're singing something. It's a moment where all eyes are sort of focused squarely on you, and you kind of lost the melody. We'd only spent a week rehearsing it. You've kind of lost the melody, and you were just like in this very free, easy way. You were sort of in front of an audience. You were sort of like, what is it again? It was so light. It was so full of laughter. You were giving no fucks. And it's the kind of moment that I can say, honestly, because of my sometimes performance anxiety historically, my adrenaline and cortisol issues, it might have burned a hole in my brain for days. But you were just so easy and so breezy about your imperfection in this moment, and you just kept on going it. Now, do you even remember it?
I don't.
I think it's because there was no adrenaline or cortisol. You were just like,
so
what is it again? And the musical director, I think that was Vadim, was like, this is the melody, whatever it was. And you picked right back up and you kept going. And I was like, that's how you do it. That's how you are free and easy. And does that give you a feeling when I describe that to you?
It gives me lots of feelings. No, I'm charmed because here's the thing about that. I don't remember that, but, and the way that it happened sounds about right. But me 10 years ago.
Yes.
Would remember that moment.
Have perseverated.
Have,
on it. Yeah.
Yes. Have had anxiety about it.
Yep.
Will never forget it. And also in the moment would have probably like, had like a hot flash and gone beet red and then like had like diarrhea afterwards.
Adrenaline, yeah. Cortisol, you know what I mean? Yeah. All of it. Yep.
Yeah. Not to say that stuff didn't happen. Like there was things probably going on inside of me, But what I've learned is my habits, my tendencies, like this was like something that just blew my mind open when I was in school, is that there were things that I had come across that were preventing me from, you know, really expanding artistically, going further, becoming a better artist, becoming a better performer. And one of my teachers said to me, look, you're not, some of these things that we're bringing up, you're always going to have to deal with.
Mm.
They're not going to go away. You're not going to check off a box and like finish it and it'll be done.
Yeah.
These are the things that are going to happen for the rest of your life.
Such as
for me, a tendency to have anxiety and freak out about messing up and needing to be perfect.
Uh-huh.
Right? So the opposite of that would be let it hang loose, right? Find that. So that has to be a choice for me every time.
Boy, you are making that choice.
And maybe it'll come naturally one day or sometimes, but I can't expect it to just come naturally because I, you know, it's not a muffin recipe. You know, I didn't like check off the box and like do my due diligence and then all of a sudden like I'm free and loose all the time. Like it has to be a conscious decision for me. And even further, I realized being out of school and out in the world, like how that manifests for me is when I have those moments of anxiety or those oops moments or those sort of like, you know, this is going to like end my career and my life moments. The amount of time, if I can shorten the amount of time it takes for me to laugh about it later, then I've accomplished it. It could take a couple days.
Mm-hmm.
It could take like a month. But if I'm sort of working towards like shortening how long it takes for me to just laugh at myself about those moments, then great.
So what That's I awesome. Was observing, and the reason why you don't remember it is because it wasn't traumatizing to you. I would put money on that.
Yeah.
But what I was observing is you have in that moment, however you got there, whatever like grace you had granted yourself before we started that reading, you had really shortened it was a millisecond before you were like, I don't know what the melody is. just like got right there really fast.
Totally.
And it was so, to use your word, it was super charming. And I actually carry it with me. I think about it more than I'd care to admit when I am like, okay, in a moment, in a millisecond, if I fuck up, if I trip over my words, if I don't know what the melody is, like if I can't access what the word is that I'm trying to use, how are you going to play it, Susan? Like, and it, I really carried that watching you do that in my heart. And I was like, what would Pippa do? Pippa would be like, what is it again? And then just the audience would laugh and you would just go on. You just go on. I love that.
I'm so glad that you like that.
You're like, I'm glad I could be of service.
Listen, if it can do something for someone at some point, my sort of like oops moments.
You've done it.
This reminds me of a topic we're slightly obsessed with on this podcast. And that topic is failure. And how we process our perceived failure. Do you have a particular thing that you felt you failed at? And could you talk us through how you processed it?
Yeah. There's the kind of failure that happens when you're working on something as an actor and you feel like, oof, that didn't like quite happen.
That didn't
like,
land.
That moment or like, you know, like, oh, I couldn't quite get there. Like the emotion wasn't there. That's just informative to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting.
It's information.
Yeah.
Like I try and take it as not like, you know, a measure of my worth and more just information about what's happening. Either, you know, like if I'm doing a really emotional scene and for some reason it doesn't get there, I think, oh, I don't really actually know what my given circumstances are.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm really sick today and I have a cold and like, that's why I'm not really all here. Or like, I'm really nervous about an audition that I have. And so I'm really not, my head's not here or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just information.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the type of failure that is sort of like the outward, like what the world perceives as failure and how I feel like I've maybe let other people down, not letting myself down, but like letting the world down in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be like being in a show that maybe closes much earlier than we think about that. I did this beautiful play called Amelie the Musical, and it was the most wonderful experience, and we had a really good time making it.
Yeah.
And for one reason or another, or many reasons, it just didn't last. Like, we ran for about 5 weeks on Broadway.
Oh.
And it's just so silly because, like, yes, like, it's called, is it technically a failure? Like, I don't know, like, who came up with that term?
Mm-hmm.
Was it a success? I mean, if you told me I was doing a 5-week run of Amelie on Broadway, I'd be like, yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Like, limited run, limited engagement. Like, it was a great 5 weeks.
Yes.
But that's my perception of it.
Yeah.
And so I think, like, with the sort of like critic outward world, what do people see me as, success or failure stuff, is like completely unhealthy.
Yeah.
That, like, it's a success to be able to go to Broadway in the first place.
Yes.
Like, the odds of
making it there
are so small anyway. So, like, you have to take into account, like, all the things that you do to get to a place. And then you'll come to see that, like, the sort of failure, whatever it is so much smaller than anything it did to take you to get there.
How was it for you, like, when, I mean, we've made Broadway shows that have received, shall we say, earlier than expected closing notices.
Yeah.
How was it for you to receive that information, something that you had poured so much of your heart and soul into, and something that you were literally at the center of that creative experience? You are the key art for that. All the show posters, you are the center of it. Your name is above the title. Like, how was it for you to receive that information? And in those days, how did you process it?
I didn't process it necessarily like in that moment that you were mentioning. And
well, you still are working. You still have a job to do.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, but I think more that, like, you know, that sort of what I was talking about, that moment it takes for you to laugh at yourself.
Yes. Yes.
That took me a while to find.
Sure.
A little bit longer.
Yeah.
On that one.
That one took a little bit longer, but I did learn about letting yourself have those feelings. Like, I was mourning it too. Like, I wasn't just like disappointed in myself for being a failure. That was like the smallest part of it. Like, I think the biggest part was that I just wasn't going to be able to continue doing this thing that I planned on doing for a long time and put a lot of energy into, and these people that I made it with, I like wasn't going to hang out with anymore. So like, there was a lot at play there. So I actually like did not handle it well. I just was like very depressed, and I felt like, oh gosh, what am I going to do? I made a mistake. Like, something went wrong. It was clearly all my fault. What am I going to do next?
What shifted it for you? Because you're not there now.
Mm-hmm. To be perfectly honest, and I hate saying this because I don't want this to be me.
But here we go.
But I got another job.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And I felt better about myself.
And yes.
Life went on.
And life went on. But I was pissed at myself because I was like, look at me. Like, I just got another job. Someone handed me like a thing, and all of a sudden I feel better about my life. Like, what a sap I am, because I just spent 2 months, well, no, 4 months being like, Steve, I'm never going to work again. Oh my God. And then like all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I get to do this other thing.
We work in such a crazy business because it is a lot about external opportunities. For many of us, it's about external opportunities and when they arrive and like being available and waiting for them to show up and blah, blah, blah. But here we are. So that was your truth for that moment of
your
life.
That was the truth. That was the truth then. And it will never be this. It won't be like that ever again, because eventually I found that moment of like, haha, like I'm laughing at myself. Cause I was like an insane person. I was like, I was like, oh my God, this is it for me. Like, nothing ever is going to happen ever again.
Did you feel like in a way it was sort of cheating, like to feel better just because you got a job?
And, no. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what I'm like, what I was
like, you were shortcutting it.
Yeah. I was so pissed at myself for it. I was like, I'm better than I can be. I know my self worth. Why did it take somebody like giving me permission?
Yeah.
To like be okay with having, you know, a couple months of free time.
But to use your words earlier, that's information.
Totally.
That's information in this ongoing investigation that we're all doing about ourselves and creativity. Mm-hmm. That's information. And so if you do have a feeling that you want it to be different next time, there are ways you can influence that.
Yeah.
Well, to use your words again.
We're just throwing all your words back in.
Oh my God, I love it.
Hard hitting.
Tell me everything I said.
This is hard hitting journalism.
You said it won't happen again. Because you did learn from that experience and you're determined that next time it's not going to come from external forces. You feeling better can come
internally. I think like before it happens, I can be conscious of it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if for some reason I go down that road again, like I think so many of us do in this industry where we're like, here we go again. Like I'm unemployed and I like can't just enjoy having it like, you know, 2 months off.
A little downtime.
Right.
When, you know, from the previous 2 months, like I literally had no time. So like, I don't know. I just feel like just getting better is taking as it comes, as opposed to feeling like I have to prescribe a way to be.
But like you said, like next time it happens, won't be the first time that it happens.
No, I won't. Even if it happens in the exact same way, my perception of it will be different.
Yeah.
You know,
I like that.
Even if I'm like bummed out and blue for 4 months because I don't know what's happening next, and then somebody gives me a job and all of a sudden I'm happy, that experience will ultimately be different because I have this perspective in my mind of like, it's not the end of the world. I'm blue about it. I want to be working.
I grieve it.
But also, free time.
Like, the other variable that I know, this is the drum that Auntie Susan and Laura always bang, but the other variable that I just want to add into this mix is I think this also can be shifted by making your own work.
Yes.
That is another thing that can shift this, is if you are somebody who knows yourself to be a creative artist, in addition to being an interpretive artist, there's something about knowing that, yes, I can, in addition to seeing what external opportunities come my way, there's a short story that I'd be interested in having made into a play that I can direct. That sort of thing can really go a long way in shifting. It doesn't take away the pain and the grieving and the loss of having invested so much of yourself in a project that you love and having it feel like it got cut short, but it does something. It it's like a little more sense of personal agency.
I guess it goes with that, like what I was saying, space, ritual, and experiences, that sometimes space is just given to you without you asking for it.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Like you don't have to create it for yourself.
I just meant a little space, not all the space.
All right.
The space.
Yeah. And same thing with the other two aspects, like your experiences and the sort of rituals that you have. Like some of them find you more than you find it. And so you work with what you're given in that way, you know? So if you're given a lot of space, fill it. If you're given no space, fill it.
Special thanks to Susan Blackwell and Laura Kamen for sharing their interview with Philippa Sue. Like I said, this is just a portion of the full two-part interview with Pippa, and it is chock full of sparks. They have additional interviews with Gavin Creel, Sarah Bareilles, and multitudes of other creative sparklers out there. So open up your podcast app and subscribe to them right now. Thanks for listening, guys. Until next time.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.